Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is why I do afternoon. You morning guys. I mean,
I'm sorry.
You guys are up earlier than I am.
Yeah, we got
to
get him.
I am to do
there.
Diapers and to watch Paw Patrol, but not to actually talk.
So last night, how much fun was it? Because Ken has been talking about the Home Run Derby forever, about how this is the most exciting event. And I'm looking more forward to tonight. But last night was fun.
Well, last night, knock on wood, this is the 15th in a row that I've done. And normally the Home Run Derby is long, drawn out, and boring. They've done a good job, I think, since the new format to try and increase the level of pace. Ironically, they talk more pace of game of what we're going to deal with tonight. But it's slow as anything with all the commercials and everything else. But last night was fascinating. Look, I thought the Peterson-Vlad thing was great. And I've often complained for years, guys, about the fact that MLB doesn't understand moments and marketing. It's one of the reasons why I spent weeks pushing for CC to be here, and I'm glad that it finally happened. But I think, you know, to have Vlad Jr. in there, I don't care if he had 8 home runs or not, we got to do what we can to put the best and most exciting young players on center stage when we're monopolizing sports. There's nothing else going on right now. So people turn on a TV last night, and they saw what went on in that second round. I think it's fascinating. But it as a Met guy, through and through, still, unbiased that I am, it was the biggest Met win of the season and Pete Alonso's first walk-off of his career. So it was a good night.
Wonder what Mickey Callaway would have to say about that.
Probably something that would get him in more trouble. And a chair thrown instead of the pitches that were thrown by Alonso's cousin.
I was about to say, Brody didn't even have to throw a chair.
No chairs were thrown whatsoever. But as I was saying to your producer, Owen, as we're walking in here, I am looking to see whether or not Brody can hire Chapman's father to pitch in the seventh inning.
I think you have a better chance, huh?
Okay. It sounds like you might be on my side. Okay. I said listen, I know he's trying to do a good thing for his dad, and I want to make sure like his dad wasn't sick or anything like that, and everything was fine.
But now you can commence making fun of him.
Yeah, his dad hasn't thrown him BP in 8 years, Casey. It was a 36-hour notice at best. And I think I'm being pretty liberal
right
there with that.
Which is why that happened,
well,
right?
Yeah, but why would you put your dad in that spot? Like, you're a pro hitter.
Yes.
Take it seriously.
Well, look, I will tell you, last night in talking to Arenado, who was his high school teammate, he said that when they were in high school, his dad used to throw them BP for the high school team.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a connection in terms of this is something that they did as a kid. But I think what you said is exactly what happened. They had to go with somebody who was here, and I think Gallo is the guy they wanted. He had said, in quotes, the Rangers, that they didn't want him necessarily doing it, so they couldn't go there. They went to Chapman, and I think he went with, a family member who was there versus picking one of somebody else's coaches. I think if he had more time, you got a different choice. I don't know necessarily you want your dad to throw a cutter when you're trying to hit.
He was doctoring the baseball. He went up like the Naked Gun and was taking stuff off his head.
I mean, Lucas Giolito is asking Chapman's dad, hey, what did you do to improve yourself?
This guy threw at his own kid in a father-son game.
It was rough. That was rough last night.
It was tough. It was tough. And I'll say this about Alonso because, it's funny. Last night, I've seen some sad buildings the last few months. Being there when the Warriors lost and having the Klay Thompson news come out was just the weirdest thing in terms of just strange environments. Last night, not nearly that, but fans who didn't want Vlad, this is the great part about fans, right, that we talk to every day, which is why we all need therapy doing what we do for a living, is they didn't want Vlad in there. He's got 8 home runs. He doesn't belong. I want some other guy. Why isn't Dietrich, who's a hometown guy here, or somebody else, right? Then, at the end, how did he not win? He had 91 home runs. He was the story. I will remind people, Santana had 13 in the first round. Alonso only had to have 14, and he went second, so he couldn't keep going, didn't have to.
Right.
Vlad
Jr.
went first every round.
That's a good point.
Last time, Alonso had 23, hadn't even used his bonus, which was a final round record. He had 30 seconds still left. So that's another five or six home runs he would have had. He went second every time. Guerrero went first every time. So I'm not taking anything away from Vlad Jr., but the 91 home runs might have been broken, and I think it would have been.
Would you tweak just part of the format? Because it basically, Jock Peterson had to go back-to-back. Like, would you have put Acuna and Alonso out there and then brought back Vlad Guerrero and Jock Peterson, or is that a little bit too much?
I mean, I would, but I think you got to do that on the spot, and then, you know, who knows? Look,
take some of the drama
it's
out.
Supposed to be for fun. What I would do, and I'm so sick of hearing about Barry Larkin's one injury when they tried to do this many years ago, but I've said this forever. If they want to really be smart and develop this, go ahead and put targets on second base with different charities. And go throw Yasiel Puig and your best arms in right field and have an old-school Wild World of Sports. Go give me cones and show me Billy Hamilton racing against whomever you want. These are things the players and talking to them would love to do. Wow. And 99% of the time, they're not going to get injured doing that. But they had tried it once many years ago, and Larkin got injured. Look, anybody can get injured doing anything. And we've seen that before, but I think what hockey does well is has the skills competition. If 100%. The home run derby was one round, like, so instead, guys, it's AL against NL, right? You have one round of home run derby, AL against NL, or two rounds if you want. But then you have a throwing competition, you have a relay, things of that nature. I'm sorry, those are the skills that, to me, are really going to stand out to people who don't watch baseball, watching the speed of this game.
Yeah, Owen says Billy Hamilton versus the freeze. Like, who's not watching that?
How amazing. Right? But those are the kind of things. Those are the kind of things. And you can make it for charity and do some different things. I just think they do a bad job. The home run derby, if you're going to have 3 hours of television and that's the issue, don't make it all about home runs. We see enough during the year.
All right, so we've got to talk about the All-Star Game tonight.
Yeah,
because this is what it's supposed to all be about. But every time we do a poll, which ticket would you rather have, home run derby, the All-Star Game? And Ken and I have debated this. Everybody seems to be on Ken's side where they enjoy the home run derby. But this whole week and the whole reason this is in Cleveland, it's supposed to be about the All-Star Game. Do you think the format there is an issue? I've heard people say over the last 48 hours, well, it doesn't mean anything anymore, as if it really ever meant anything, even though home field was supposedly on the line.
Look, I've seen some bad decisions in 15 years covering this game. None is worse than having this game count. So it never should have meant anything anyway. What I think we need to do is realize baseball fans are nuts by trade. The NBA All-Star Game is a joke. Okay, I cover it. It's a joke. Mm-hmm. All right? Dirk and the D-Wade thing made certain parts of it interesting, but it's a joke. The Pro Bowl isn't even worthy. Even Hawaii was like, now we're too nice for you. Go to Orlando. Okay, for the Pro Bowl, nobody watches that. The NHL All-Star Game is a joke. Unless one year you see Gretzky on the same line with some new kid who comes in for 3 seconds, and who cares?
I thought the three-man hockey thing might
be
cool. Okay.
It's cool, but it's no defense. There's no it's not the sport,
right?
It wasn't
anywhere near I thought it would be.
Right. So for me, I think if we're being honest, it's already the best one. But if we're also being honest, interleague play is what, I don't want to say killed, but took away what for us as kids, some of us, it was about. It was about, I have not seen Mike Trout face Clayton Kershaw. It was about, I have not seen, think about this year, whoever you want, Max Scherzer face name anybody on the AL team. Now we see these things all the time with interleague play and free agencies. It's so crazy at this point that I think those matchups are gone. You know, Pedro mowing six down, for example, many years ago, that kind of stuff's gone. So most of the moments don't come from the game, which is why the Sabathia thing needed to happen. And why I'll continue to say the best moment other than that tonight that we'll see in the loudest ovation for either team will be Brantley when he is introduced as an all-star coming back to Cleveland.
You think so?
Yes.
Yeah. But that's the difference between baseball and basketball is that, like, if Francisco Lindor has to go, I think that he'll probably, unless it's like a $2 million difference or something like that, he'll probably get a warm ovation when he comes back. But when you do that in the NBA, it's usually going to be pretty nasty from some of the fans. I know they try to force you to like the guy when he's coming back, but in Major League Baseball, it's kind of, it's happening. We still like
it. It also depends, Ken, why they left. Brantley is a guy who they couldn't afford. They wanted, Terry Francona wanted Michael Brantley back badly. The guys in the clubhouse wanted him back badly. The total money spent in the offseason, I believe, was what, 2.6, was it? Was it less than three? How much money did this team spend?
I think it was less than three.
Less than $3 million total.
So they had the savings, technically, with the trade with Edwin.
Here's a guy who handled himself and represented the city in that uniform with class on a day-in and day-out basis as much as anybody. Battled back from injury several times, and I remember covering them in the World Series. He was there every day in the dugout, talking to hitters, every day working with that team, even though he couldn't play. And I think if anybody understands the representation of what that guy was and how much he meant to that room, they will cheer him tonight.
It's weird how important he really is, because that was like a $4 million difference. And when they let him go, basically, I wanted to keep him. I think, again, you just brought up, Lima wanted to keep him. Everybody seemed to want to keep him. But there were those, you made the World Series without him once. It's like, I don't know if that's really a good reasoning for doing any of these moves that you make.
Did they see their outfield?
That was the reasoning.
The outfield?
That was the reasoning.
I mean, first of all, I mean, let's be honest. Adam Jones was sitting out there forever and would have every day of that forever been the best outfielder this team had if they signed him and ended up making $3 million and would have been such an impression on some of these young kids too. So, you know, the organization did what it did. They've played their tails off and have bounced back into the race. Now the interesting part will be, can they buy and sell at the same time? Because all I'm hearing from everybody I talk to is that Bauer is heavily on the table, but part of that is Carrasco, Kluber, and others coming back.
Well, that's because people are going, well, you could trade from a position of strength. And I go, I don't know how strong it is. Like, you have young guys who've come in and pitched well, but I don't know if I can use that as any sort of a reason to make those moves. And Carrasco's ill, obviously, and we don't know when he's going to – it seems that he's very positive and he even could make a return, but I can't guarantee that. And I have one guy who just started throwing a baseball around last week. I don't know if I can trade away Trevor Bauer. And I can trade a guy who's up for arbitration. I'd rather wait until the end of the year, because what am I going to do? If I'm in the race for the Central, am I going to trade away Trevor Bauer to a team that is definitely going to trade for him for a World Series run and basically tell everybody that, we're kind of in, we're kind of out, when Trevor Bauer has always made it abundantly clear he's only going to sign short-term deals? So any team that trades for him knows that. I'm really going to trade him to the Yankees?
Well,
the Astros?
Here's the thing, and I'll combine the two sports. The Pelicans thought the same thing about Anthony Davis, didn't want to tell that message during the season, and gave up a trade that I will still say would have been the craziest, most lopsided trade any of the three of us have ever seen. And you can go back to Herschel Walker, and we'd be able to debate that. The fact that they were able to get what they were – you're talking about four first-round picks, Kuzma, Ball, Ingram, forget about the players. Think about the other picks you could get moving those players. You're going to have 9, 10 first-round picks for a guy who was going to leave, like Bauer, a year after regardless. Demps doesn't make the deal, loses his job, and then Davis goes anyway. Bauer is not going to stay. So I think the question becomes, how much are you offered? I always say this to people, and I say the same thing in New York about Syndergaard. When you say you're willing to trade somebody, there's nothing wrong with that. If somebody calls you, you own your home, you're not planning on selling it, and they say, hey, I'll tell you what I would buy for your house, wouldn't you say, tell me? What if they offer you $300,000 more than it's worth, right? You never know. So I think you always listen, and I think they will do that. And if somebody bowls them over because they're desperate, I think you have to make a deal. Remember, they could turn around, make another deal, rent a Zach Wheeler for the next couple of months for something cheap. He's just a rental. He doesn't make any money. And then go ahead and replace it that way with another deal. I just think you always stay open-minded if you're looking for the future.
Well, Casey Stern joining us right now. SiriusXM MLB Network Radio is in Cleveland. He had the call of the Home Run Derby last night. Does everything, basically, when it comes to baseball and basketball on television and radio. Going back to what's going on with the Twins, we had our buddy Bruce Drennan from over there at STO, and he said, but listen, I know the Twins are great, but I don't know if you could just pack it in and start a rebuild with the Indians, because a lot of those guys are on one-year deals. So those guys who are showing up and playing every day and playing well, those guys might be gone from Minnesota next year. And all of a sudden, are one of the other three teams really ready to compete? Well, you kind of bristled at that. Go ahead.
Well, Polanco, no. Buxton, no. Sano, no. Kepler, no. Behind the plate, two of the three catchers. Castro is the only one who's done. Really, you're talking about Nelly Cruz and Scope. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Those are the two guys that they got. Nelly Cruz, who I love to death and has been great forever, and when he's 60 is going to be able to hit home runs. If he ends up becoming some other DH that comes in for a year, you can replace that. Scope is a second baseman. If they brought Dozier back, you can replace that. The guys who have starred for them are kids. Barrios, for example. Odorizzi is the only guy in the entire rotation, I think, who's up at the end of the year.
So you believe in Minnesota that they're here to stay for the next few years?
I don't know at what level without them spending money, because I do think at some point they're going to need to, either with investments in dollars or prospects, go aim higher. So do they go for a Bumgarner? Do they look at adding a pitcher and a closer? I think for sure they need. So I don't know. But I would say this. The White Sox, if you're not paying attention, people should. Luis Robert, to me, is the top outfield prospect in the game. He's going to be a superstar. And I mean, a legitimate Lindor level type of a superstar in center field for the White Sox. Jimenez has been there 3 minutes. Madrigal's the top second base prospect in baseball, and you know that Reinsdorf and Kenny are waiting to spend money. They tried to get Machado's Facebook friends in Chicago to go ahead and get him. So the White Sox should not be forgotten by any stretch, because I think there's a chance they're better than the Twins next season.
Kid's going to kill me for asking this, because I don't know how easy of an answer it is. I got to ask it. You're from a national perspective. You see baseball in every city every single night. Teixeira called Cleveland a baseball town yesterday. People kind of made a joke of it. How does Cleveland become more of a baseball town? Shortest answer you possibly can give.
You can only do it to a certain extent. I was asked the same thing in Texas, the Rangers in back-to-back World Series with the Cowboys there. Can't do it. And I would tell you, with the Browns doing what they're doing and about to do, it would be literally impossible.
I could take that answer. So basically, it's like, okay, do what you can, but we understand in certain places, some sports are bigger.
When the other teams stink, like if the Nationals did what they should have done the last few years, they would have put the Redskins in the backseat for a couple of minutes.
Well, that's a great point.
I think for the Browns to be where they're headed in this town that has been waiting to just absorb all their love for football for all these years, good luck.
Casey, we thank you very much for the time.
Yeah, of course, guys. Good to be here.
The great Casey Stern in studio with us up at 9:30, basically next. We will have Derek Morgan, Pete Alonso's home run derby pitcher. He joins us on the phone coming up. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lyme, live on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.